listening to the Jackie Daily Show, and this is, again, one of those exceptional shows, not always my typical programming, which is more about energy and environment issues. I have to talk to you about this election, right? I can't think about anything else. I am completely and totally obsessed with this process, what's going on, and how this ends up. I will disclose to you, full disclosure, I have been deployed to a swing state, a battleground state, for the last 4 days. I was traveling in relationship to the election and could not do my show in studio for the last 2 weeks. So you heard me do it remotely. If there was a problem with some audio quality, that's why. Thank you so much for those of you who have written to me to inquire about that. I always want to know. Please always contact me. You know where to find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. And I am Jackie at JackieDaily.com. Love to hear from you. So please don't hold back. If you have feedback, even if it's constructive criticism, I want to hear it because I love you all. I take it in the spirit of love. Back to the election. People, I want you to understand, this is not over. This election is not over. And it doesn't matter how many times MSNBC and the Washington Post and CNN and Fox News says it is. News media outlets do not call elections. I mean, they can call them if they want to, but they have no legal authority to do anything. Their calls mean nothing under the law. What's important is that everyone know that their vote counted, that every vote was legal. And if there's any reason to believe that it was not legal, it is critical that we find out how people voted and who the choice for president really was. So right now, I mean, I can tell you, there are many paths for President Trump to win this election. Even now, there are. I'm a lawyer by training, okay, especially constitutional lawyer. I used to be counsel to the chairman of the subcommittee on the Constitution in the U.S. House, part of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. I can tell you, this is not over. This is now, you know, mid-November. The states have until December 8th to decide what happened in their state. So, for example, not only do you do your recounts if necessary, in a lot of states you have mandatory recounts. If you have margins that are as close as Trump and Biden, the law requires a recount. Why? Because sometimes the second count comes out differently. There are reasons for that. There's a very important reason why we do that. So also understand that under federal law, the military have extra time to get their ballots in to all states. So this is not optional. This is not about ballot fraud. Here's the problem. It used to be that, you know, when you've got 2 million members of the military, and especially during war, when they're, you know, maybe over 500,000 are deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan or elsewhere, places even more remote, you can't mail ballots to the uttermost edges of the earth where there is no postal service or no roads, have that member of the military fill out the ballot, send it back down the no road path to civilization somewhere, to a post office, to be turned around in just a few weeks. It actually takes a lot of time. Therefore, in 2009, there was a law passed that required that all states send ballots to the military 45 days before an election. And they have several days after the election to return their ballots. So, you know, the military breaks very hard for Republicans. The military votes like, I don't know, above 60% Republican. So generally speaking, these will raise the Republican tally, these last votes. What has happened so many times since that 2009 law is that certain states, mostly Democrat states, do not comply with the law. They do not get the ballots out 45 days in advance. And before the law, it was ridiculous. They would send out ballots like 2 weeks before an election. Well, there's no way that a member of the military could possibly receive that ballot and return it in time to be counted. They were systematically disenfranchising members of the military, and they continued to do so after the passage of that bill. I am aware that the Trump administration has tried to fix that problem. I don't know if they actually succeeded in fixing that problem. I'd forgotten about it for years. Vote fraud was an issue I handled when I was on Capitol Hill from 2006 to 2013, and I haven't followed it as closely as I used to. But believe me, I'm going to start paying more attention, and in these next few weeks, I will effectively earn a PhD in vote fraud, in voting issues, because I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that every vote is counted. Period. I know the extent and the scale in the forms of vote fraud from my time on Capitol Hill. We knew it was a big problem way back then. Here's the problem. You have to have people go after the fraud. In many states, by the time you find out about it, it's too late because the election has been certified, meaning anything that you do to go back and investigate that fraud is now moot because some states will not permit the election outcome to be changed because they have to have certainty, right? So the problem, therefore, just never gets fixed. Also, it's very hard to prove unless you have whistleblowers, which sometimes you do, right? These things are often conspiracies. There are a lot of people involved, and somebody will come to the authorities and turn state's evidence or something like that, which is how you uncover so much of the fraud. So believe me when I tell you, there are lawsuits being filed in, I believe, every swing state that's now outstanding. These lawsuits have legs. I am familiar with the suits. I'm familiar with the lawyers who brought them. I have been following this closely, and nothing drives me crazier than reading people writing in major media outlets or saying on TV that there's absolutely no evidence of fraud. I don't know the degree of psychosis that you need. I don't know the degree of dishonesty you have to have in your body to report that. How you could possibly report that in the wake of all this evidence, I do not know. I don't blame the people who are not experts, who are not journalists, whose job it is not to know the answer to that. I see it repeated all the time on social media. People saying, like my cousins or whoever, there's no evidence of vote fraud. You know what they're doing? They're repeating whatever they read in the mainstream media. They're wrong, but I don't fault them for believing certain elements of the media. I mean, at some point, you can't just believe people are lying every time they open their mouth, you know, or society can't function. But I am telling you, there is a mountain of evidence of vote fraud, a mountain. And we're all going to learn all about it in the next few weeks. And I will also tell you, as difficult as this has been, and will continue to be, because I will deploy again to another state, this is a blessing in disguise. What's happening right now is a blessing in disguise because this problem has been there for so long. It's been getting worse and worse. They're bigger and bigger. They're getting better at it. Who knows how many elections have been thrown at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, and nothing's been done. This circumstance that we find ourselves in right now with these multiple states having all these shenanigans in such a high-profile way, dominating the news, and element two, having a president with a personality that will not back down. He will fight. He will fight. He is not going to back down. Do not say to yourself, I don't know, if the pressure keeps up, he might give in. No, he won't. Remember, this is totally different than what you've seen in the past. For example, in 2000, when it was Bush v. Gore, Florida had like 527 votes separating the two. You might remember this if you're old enough. The situation was that they fought it out in the Florida state courts. And one thing that Gore was fighting for was keeping the military ballots from counting. Do you remember? He was trying to disenfranchise the military because they arrived too late, right? He knew they broke Republican. Anyway, the point is they fought it out in Florida, then went to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the court ruled in favor of Bush, or gave a ruling that resulted in Bush being elected. I was reading some commentary from Joe Lieberman, who was Gore's VP candidate. And Lieberman reports that when this decision came down, they had to make a call. Do we give up, or do we go back to Florida and continue fighting in the Florida courts? That was an option open to them. Lieberman wanted to fight. Gore didn't. He gave in. He stopped. He gave in with 527 ballots, you know, separating the two. If I were a Gore supporter, do you know how furious I would be? I would never get over it. I would never get over it because, remember, Gore is arguing that not every vote was counted correctly, and that's why he lost. Is that true? I don't know. I was in law school. I wasn't there. I had friends who were there who said it was a big chaotic mess. But if I were Al Gore, I would want to know. I would never go lay down for it if I didn't know the answer. But he did. Well, Donald Trump is not Al Gore. Not even close. I mean, the media thinks that they get by with this stuff because they've gotten by with it this far and people just let it go. They underestimate who they're messing with here. They totally misread this president. So I have to catch a break. More when I come back. First with Lance Gooden to talk about foreign funding of the green movement in this country. Kind of relevant, same pathway, I'm sure, to foreign funding of election interference, which I wholly believe in. After that, more on the election. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Follow me on Parler at Jackie Daily Show, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And always, you can follow the show on the podcast, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, most others. We've talked so much about foreign influence in elections, but also in the oil and gas business. You might not know that a House investigative committee, the Science Committee, looked into this, as I reported a while back, and found that for every dollar of foreign funding that impacted or influenced the 2016 election, they could find 50 cents that influenced U.S. oil and gas activism and markets. That's just what they found, what they know about. Well, the good news is that here in Texas, we have a representative, Congressman Lance Gooden. Lance Gooden actually cares about this issue and intends to do something about it. I was excited to see that he had sent a letter on, it looks like October 8th, to the EPA to probe the financial ties between some groups, that is like nonprofits, for example, in the United States to foreign funding, following up what has been really at least a problem that we've known about since 2014, when a Senate report from Environment and Public Works Committee revealed a huge network. So, Rep. Gooden, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Great to be here.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. I was so happy, Lance, that someone is getting on this, because we've known about this for a long time on Capitol Hill. Concern, maybe, that the Russians or OPEC or others are funneling money in here to impact and pay for things like anti-fracking ballot initiatives or demonstrations or pipeline protests. And when we talk about this, I get looks of disbelief. People don't want to believe that's real, like there's something hard about that or irrational about that. Tell us about this problem, because I haven't followed it for a couple of years. So what is it that prompted you to send this letter to the EPA?
Well, yeah, so let's talk about the problem first. We've got these green groups that exist all over the country and world, and they just magically have hundreds of millions and in some cases billions of dollars that they shower on political causes. They follow into races. They hire lobbyists for activism in Washington and in state legislatures. They also supply funding for litigation against oil companies, and they hire massive teams of lawyers to drum up complaints and lawsuits, and they raise costs for oil companies, for anyone that has any kind of dealing with anything that's pro-energy. And then they do it all in the name of saving the environment. They talk about how we need to go green. We need to have green energy. We need to get off our reliance on XYZ pro-oil technology and replace it with this new green technology. And we started talking with people in Washington after some of the studies you referenced and after these groups started just getting more active in the 2020 campaign. And we set up some meetings with investigators at the EPA who said, you know, we have suspected this, but we don't really have a green light to go after any kind of investigation unless a member of Congress asks us to and gives us that green light. And so I looked into things further and realized, why isn't anyone doing anything about this? Many of these green energy pro-environment groups are really secretive about where their money comes from. They don't have, in some cases, an American headquarters. One of the big ones, I believe, is based in Bermuda. And when questioned about it in the past, they've said, well, this is very typical of nonprofits. This is all family money. This is not, there's no outside money. And by the way, foreign money into a nonprofit is not illegal, but that money, if used in political activism or lobbying Congress, if it's not disclosed, then that suddenly becomes illegal use of that money. And so what I want is for the EPA and the Justice Department to investigate and make sure that these groups are actually doing what they say they're doing. If, in fact, money is coming in from foreign areas or foreign governments, then they need to disclose that. And if they haven't been disclosing that, then they've been improperly influencing elections with potential foreign funds. But you look at other groups. Let's talk about maybe the NRA. Not an energy group, not an environmental group, just a good old-fashioned group with members that send money to their headquarters to go out and be activists on their behalf. The NRA brings in a pretty good chunk of money. Everyone would agree with that. But they have a headquarters in the middle of Virginia. All these green groups, they typically have very fancy properties in New York or San Francisco in high-rent areas. It doesn't make sense, the number of green groups that there are out there that have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend. There aren't enough small dollar donors to justify all the funds that we're seeing from these groups, whether it's elections or in the courtroom. It just doesn't make sense that they would be so well off. There are not small dollar donors that justify the huge expenses that we see. And so we just want to know where this money's coming from. And no one can really tell me where it's coming from. So I've asked the Justice Department and the EPA to go out and figure it out for us, because these groups are not being very forthcoming with the origins of their funds.
No, and I'll tell you, my first reaction to what you're saying is, hey, I hope they burn as much money as possible in rent for fancy buildings instead of burning it on lobbyists and lawyers and taking down U.S. oil and gas, perhaps for our foreign competitors who don't want to have to compete with the largest producer of oil and gas on earth. That would be us. If they could take out the United States, then the price of oil skyrockets, and so does natural gas, and they make a ton of money. It's really simple. So the motive is easy. Okay, so just quickly, because I don't think this is obvious, I used to work for Congress. Explain why the EPA needs to wait for a member of Congress to give them the green light. Because to people listening, they would be thinking, look, don't we pay them to stay on top of this stuff? Why wouldn't they have the ability to go after it, whether anyone writes or not? Because they could have started this, 6 years ago.
The reason is because we're talking about influencing elections. In many cases, they can't just go drum up an investigation. Even silly things like the impeachment hearings, those were initiated by Congress earlier in the year. These departments cannot just start willy-nilly and open up an investigation into just whatever they want to because they have a hunch. They've got to actually have some concrete evidence, or in the case of this, they've got to be requested by the legislative department because I don't have bank records from these groups. There's no one to bring me the evidence that I need. So I'm asking them to go out and look at the evidence and open an investigation, which is why I initiated this. And so once they got the green light, they could then activate their investigative unit within the NPA, within the EPA, because the EPA, their internal investigative unit, they typically investigate infractions that are environment related, but they can be more broad in what they pursue if they have a request from Congress, which is what this is. And I want to go back to what you said, though, about shutting down the oil industry and why that's important. Everything you said is true. Another thing, though, China has all this green technology. We are not really the epicenter here in the U.S. of green technology. And so China wants to get us, one, they want to kill our oil industry, but two, if they can get us addicted to these green technologies that they've created and that they have the control of, then they can also have a revenue stream once they destroy our energy industry.
Hold that thought, Lance. Hold that thought, because I have to go to break, but I definitely want to pick up on that as soon as we get back, because that's a big point. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show, and I'm talking with Congressman Lance Gooden of Texas, who has sent a letter to the EPA asking them to investigate the inflow of foreign money into U.S. nonprofits that are allegedly in the environmental movement attempting to save the planet. What we think might be happening is instead they're attacking U.S. oil and gas on behalf of foreign oil producers who don't want to compete with the largest producer, or, as Lance said before we went to break, you have China, who really is the leader, arguably, in green tech, who wants to kill its competition, which would be fossil fuels. So either way, there's a motivation. Lance, you might know that here in Texas, there's concern about the Chinese buying up wind farms, solar farms, and cheap U.S. oil and gas assets, because now, after COVID, so many companies went bankrupt because people weren't driving, which is where the oil goes here, the transportation sector. So now foreign companies can come in and buy up U.S. energy on the cheap. I asked our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, about this in front of a crowd in Dallas. And I won't go into the details, but he was certainly aware of the problem and indicated that they're on it. I know there's an agency called CFIUS, C-F-I-U-S, Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, who are supposed to be watching this and paying attention to whether or not our strategic assets are flying out the door to foreign control. So based on what you've been doing and everything you've learned about this subject, what is your biggest concern? Is it the Chinese buying up U.S. energy assets, or is it like Russia and OPEC, for example, putting money into our activism and lobbying that we don't know about to take out U.S. oil and gas with frack bans or pipeline bans or whatever?
Well, there's probably a combination of I fear what I don't know, which is why we're very excited that the EPA has started this investigation. They're, I think, a few weeks into it. But also I worry that the Russians and the Chinese and everyone who is a competitor to U.S. energy are making progress in destroying our energy production industry here in the U.S. That's their goal. They know that we will always need energy. So if they can destroy our ability to produce it, then we will go back to the days of being addicted to their oil and gas, where we have to import everything. It sounds extreme, but that is their goal. Their other goal, which they ultimately want, is to have an administration in Washington that buys it all. And when I say buy it, I mean they sign up for all this propaganda. They hire these green group leaders to take over the EPA in the event that Biden is ultimately sworn into office. Because the goal on the Democratic side, aside from winning elections, their goal is to shut down U.S. energy and adopt the Green New Deal. And they're going to be successful if they continue to make incremental gains over time, and if conservatives turn a blind eye or just pretend that this problem doesn't exist. So we were thrilled to sit down with the EPA and actually realize that we're not crazy, because there are people that said, you're crazy if you think this. But then we sit down with people who have been dealing with these groups and watching how they drum up complaints, they drum up litigation, they get involved in elections, they lobby Congress, and they seem to have endless supplies of money. Yeah. That no one understands where it comes from. So it's encouraging that the EPA is on this. I wish they had started it a few years ago, but better late than never.
You know, you just pointed out that it was perfectly legal for foreign money to flow into a U.S. nonprofit. There's nothing illegal about it. So I think the Chinese and the Russians and OPEC would be crazy not to. They would be crazy mm-hmm. not to. There's nothing standing in the way. Why on earth would we think they would sit on their hands and do nothing when these governments, especially Russia, has been interfering in other countries' elections and governance for decades? This is what they're really good at, probably better than anything else. So I don't find this hard to believe. People just aren't used to thinking like that. But let's not forget, Biden and his son had those mega huge sketchy deals with China and Ukraine. And both of those were energy deals. Those were oil and gas companies in China and Ukraine, which, Lance, as far as I can see, it looks to me like what you have are the Bidens waging war against U.S. oil and gas with the Green New Deal, rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, yet working to boost the production of oil and gas. If you believe them, if you believe what they did was legal, working to boost oil and gas production by the Ukrainians and by the Chinese. So I think they have a big stake in who wins the current election. Let me ask you, Lance, if you get this information, this evidence from the EPA, once you get it, if it shows what we believe it's going to show, the foreign influence, then what do you do with it? We've got 3 minutes.
Well, the EPA would turn this – the EPA is working in conjunction with the Justice Department. So if they find a smoking gun, it will be incumbent upon them to move forward with that. But on the congressional side, I do not expect Nancy Pelosi to open up hearings anytime soon. But I will be making sure my colleagues in the Senate are on top of it. I suspect you'd see hearings on the Senate side. But if it is a smoking gun, as I believe it eventually will be, I think it would really be hard for Democrats to come out and say this is crazy or this is not true. It's not difficult to summon bank records from these nonprofits and find billions of dollars coming in from foreign countries. I think that's pretty black or white, and so I'm anxious to see what they come back with. But I'm confident that my colleagues on the Senate side will be interested. I'm not so confident in my House colleagues on the Democratic side. But I also would hope that the Justice Department would bring charges and continue down this road, assuming their investigations bear fruit, and I suspect they will.
So I have 1 minute left. Let's assume that Republicans hold the Senate. What can the Senate do to pick up your work?
Well, they can hold hearings. They can subpoena. They can continue. Let's assume the Senate is held Republican, and let's assume the worst, that the White House and the House are both lost. In that case, the Senate can continue investigations and with subpoenas and hearings and whatnot. But I think the work of Justice Department and the EPA, their investigative arms, in the next few months before the next Congress, will be important for the Senate to see if we've really got something to work with. And I think that their work, assuming that stops in January, I think the Senate could pick it up and run with it. And I think it'll be a long-term investigation. I can't imagine us getting all the answers we need in just a few months. It's maybe a years-long deal. But I think that Americans waking up and realizing that these green groups are not pure in their intentions will be a step in the right direction.
Me too. Disclosure would solve a lot of problems.
Yes.
So if the Bidens take the White House, you can bet that this EPA investigation will be shut down, probably on day one. I would be willing to put my next paycheck on it. So
same here.
So let's see what happens. Lance Gooden, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you for all your work. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. We'll take a break. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Listen, if you know of instances of vote fraud, you can report those. It's not too late. The litigation is just starting. Your vote counts. So do the people whose votes got canceled out by vote fraud. I do not want you to feel powerless, because you are not powerless. There are things that you can do. First, you can go to a website called everylegalvote.com/country. Actually, go to the homepage, everylegalvote.com. Okay. The people who put this together wanted to have one website where people can go to report and be citizen journalists, report any irregularities you might have seen. Anything that didn't look right to you, and there's so much of it. I've been talking to voters for days on the ground who are reporting in their own accounts. You can also go to defendyourballot.com. defendyourballot.com, which is also feeding into armyfortrump.com, armyfortrump.com. Should it really? You know, if you are a Democrat, you should be concerned about this too. Joe Biden is not running a defendyourballot.com website, because I guess, you know, shouldn't he want to know if there was fraud? Or does he not care because he's the presumptive winner, according to the media only? Well, I don't know about you. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if it's a Republican. I want them found out. I want them brought to justice, because this is a crime, vote fraud, that really endangers the republic itself. The republic itself. We have no republic if we don't have a vote that's guaranteed. One person, one vote. I can tell you, there have been a handful of instances I know about where Republicans were caught committing vote fraud, and one is happening right now. It was in South Texas. A congressional candidate had a woman that James O'Keefe exposed, who was handing out shawls to old women to vote a certain way, assisting them with their ballot in ways that were probably inappropriate. And she admits on tape to an undercover investigator that she's committing vote fraud, that she's just doing it for this one Republican congressional candidate, and that she's done it a lot. Well, guess what? She got turned in by Republican James O'Keefe, my friend who's been on the show, who's famous for his videos that brought down Acorn and so many other things. Then who did he give that information to? He gave it to Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton. And Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton immediately went after it to prosecute this guy. We don't care. He's a Republican. We don't care. We're serious. We are serious about this. If anyone is stealing and cheating, I don't care what their party affiliation is. I want them held accountable. So, again, you are empowered. What's also cool about going to everylegalvote.com is that they show you a far more realistic picture of what the current election looks like. So instead of looking at these ridiculous maps that CNN and Fox News and these major networks constantly have up showing, you know, here's the blue and here's the red and here's the purple and here is Biden's fiction electoral college count and here is Trump's fictional electoral college count. Instead of looking at that, they want to depress you. They want you to believe it's a foregone conclusion and it's not worth fighting and depress you and demoralize you. Go to everylegalvote.com and there you're going to see a very different map that is more realistic, more accurate, legal, and fair. The states that are not called yet are not coded blue or red. They're coded orange. And what they mean is that's where fraud has been detected. They're undecided. As it happens, all except Virginia, which is actually, I think, not disputed by either side. I'm not sure. But here's the point. You get a very different number, and they show Biden is having 212 electoral college votes and Trump 219. And then the rest are undecided. And they show you, as of the time that you log in, every state and the vote count, what percentage went to each candidate so far, and how many electoral college votes that they have. So you can keep up with what's going on. So they also have top stories on vote fraud. They have a section you can press called Fraud PhD, where you can literally, I mean, I was watching Keith Lewis on TV last night, the guy who runs this. He's like, you can earn a PhD, metaphorically speaking, in vote fraud when you click on this button. If you need any proof that vote fraud is real and the chronicles, the endless cases that go on and on and on and on and on of vote fraud being prosecuted in the past, go to Fraud PhD at everylegalvote.com and you will find the stories. You will get it. And like I said, here is where you go to report fraud. Please do not feel unempowered. And finally, I also see that my favorite lawyer in the country, yes, Sidney Powell, the counsel for General Michael Flynn, who, listen, if there's one woman on earth who I would like to take a page out of her book professionally, be more like her, it's Sidney Powell. I think she's amazing. She's a former federal prosecutor here in Texas. She now is filing lawsuits to uncover vote fraud. She has a website. It's LDFF, as in Frank Frank, TAR.org. One more time. LDFFTAR.org. I don't like that URL. She should have got some advice on that. I don't think it's easy to remember. Basically, it's titled Defending the Republic, is the name of the organization. And there, she will explain to you, this is the legal defense fund for the American Republic. That's why it has those letters as an acronym. The legal defense fund for the American Republic. It exists to defend the Republic and protect the integrity of elections. I love this. I'm so happy and proud of her. I just saw her like a week ago for doing this. She didn't tell me about it. I found out online. Here's the deal. She went on Lou Dobbs. You might have seen it. If you didn't, you can Google it or go to her Twitter feed. It's Sidney Powell 1, SidneyPowell, number one. Two, go to defendingtherepublic.org or as I, the acronym I gave you before, to get support to halt the certification of ballots in Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. You can actually contact Sydney at sydneypowell.com if you have information to report to her. This is a highly capable prosecutor who knows how to do investigations. She's going to try to raise about $500,000 right away, and then she'll need millions more to wage this legal fight. Let me tell you, teams of lawyers don't work for free, typically. Now, the deployments for Trump to the swing states actually are for free. People are volunteering their services. But in this case, when you need this level of litigation, it's different. She's explaining in Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court recognized that once vested in the people, the right to vote is fundamental. And one source of its fundamental nature lies in the equal weight of each vote. That was not realized in this election. There is evidence of ballots being discarded, hundreds of thousands of ballots appearing out of thin air, ballot harvesting, and a lower standard of verification for some mail-in ballots. This is called vote fraud, and it infringes on the American sacred right to vote. The Supreme Court has said that the canceling out of a legal vote by a fraudulent vote is no different than if a state tried to prevent someone from voting. So Jim Crow laws back in the day, if you had the wrong skin color, they were going to find a way to obstruct you from voting. What the court is saying is vote fraud is no different than that. It's exactly the same. So we'll see what's going to happen. It's not just the Biden campaign and the media. The Republican establishment also is working against efforts to ferret out vote fraud. I can tell you I've had my own fights about this on social media and elsewhere. Again, if you want to help out Sydney Powell, and I think that's money well spent. She is not paying me. She doesn't even know I'm doing this segment. I'm just telling you my opinion. My opinion, I think Sydney Powell is probably one of our best hopes. She is at LDD. Well, you know, let me read it to you. Legal Defense Fund for the American Republic. Just take the first letter. Legal Defense Fund for the American Republic. That's LDFFTAR.org. I'll take a break. I'll be back. You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show. The most important issue or point that I want to drive home to you today is that this election is not over until every ballot is counted fairly, and until the states certify the ballots. Even then, there could be legal challenges where there are such great irregularities that there is no confidence in the outcome of the vote. So there are, as I said, many paths to victory for the president even now. Let me count the ways. First of all, we could find that he actually won straight out the vote counts in these states. So literally, I'm telling you, that as I'm speaking right now, the votes are still being counted. So, for reasons that are difficult to fully understand, these states have not finished counting a vote that they began at least as early as Election Day. We're now more than a week out away from that. What takes so long? Well, first of all, a lot of what's outstanding are provisional ballots. You've probably heard of provisional ballots. So, you show up to vote, and there's something not quite right. Either you're at the wrong precinct, that's a problem in some places, or you don't have exactly the right kind of ID, we're not sure that you are who you say you are. Any number of problems that you can't just straight out vote. Maybe you say you registered, but you know, maybe the system hasn't caught up with you yet, so you're not reflecting in the system. Who knows? There are a lot of reasons why you can cast a provisional ballot. Okay, we don't know at the time those ballots are cast that they're going to be counted. So we don't know if they will ever come into play. When a state counts them, as you're seeing now in Arizona, for example, every county has them. They all work at their own pace. And sometimes they have to verify the information given by the voter that their vote was actually a valid vote. they have to check that out. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And if you're down to these vote counts where it's so close, like in Arizona right now, they're 14,000 votes apart. There are still enough votes outstanding there for the president to win that state. How on earth Fox News could call Arizona at, what, 9:42 p.m. Arizona time on election night? I think there were still 64% of the vote outstanding. How any self-respecting news organization could do that? And they were the only one at the time, Fox News. I really lost a lot of respect. I had already lost some respect. You might have heard that that network had a change in its leadership. The founder passed away, and his children took over, his liberal children. Well, they don't see the world the way that their dad did. And it's reflected in the network. I mean, not only did they, you know, slice their metaphorical throats by getting rid of some of their best talent, Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, remember these people? Lots of commentators that you never see anymore. They're not on Fox anymore. Some of their highest rated shows, hosts, got removed from the network right away when the kids took over. Why would you do something like that? Why would you do that? Well, now you call Arizona when here we are more than a week out and still no one knows. No one knows who won Arizona right this second. If you called up the campaign manager for Joe Biden right now and said, did Joe Biden win the state of Arizona? He'd have to say, I don't know. If he were telling the truth, and he would say, I don't know. No one knows. I just came from there. No one knows. Okay. So there's that problem that the vote's so close. We don't, as I record this show, and by the way, by the time you hear the podcast, it is not going to be the same day I make the show. So maybe things have changed a little from the night that I make it to the time that you see it or hear it or read it, whatever. I'm telling you, as of right now, as I'm speaking, Arizona is a vote the president could win. Georgia is a vote the president could win, right? Even Pennsylvania. I'm not keeping up with all the states like real time, but we haven't stopped counting yet, people. If we're still counting, we don't know. So there's that. Then, beyond the fact that the president could win the count, even with all the fraud, I'm saying, there's the possibility he loses the count, but we unveil fraud, right? Sometimes election results are overturned where you can find fraud. Now, I understand there are some jurisdictions where they won't overturn an election, but there is an army of lawyers out there right now in whom I have a lot of confidence. They know what they're doing. They're some of the best in the country, and they're filing suits because they believe we can actually uncover the fraud. You saw reports that there were, for example, 89% voter participation in Wisconsin. 89%? The normal percentage would be like 50%. The only place where you're going to see 89% voter participation is in dictatorships where you're forced to vote, and if you don't, you get killed. North Korea probably has 89% participation. You know, Iraq under Saddam Hussein had like 97% participation. And guess what? They all vote for the dictator. All of them. They never vote for anyone else. So people aren't buying that. People aren't buying that. That's absurd. Okay, 89% is absurd. I mean, their plan is for fools. What I think it means is that a lot of votes had to be stolen. I think it's a testament to how many had to be stolen to win. That is my sincere belief. And I couldn't be happier that we're going to investigate this. I think, as I said earlier, this is a blessing in disguise because it's only in this circumstance, with the particular chief executive that we have and his particular temperament, that we would actually pursue all of this. So There's a silver lining here. At least half of America is finally, for the first time, fully engaged in thinking about election integrity and why it matters. I'll tell you something else that no one seems to have noticed. In the outstanding swing states, and I mean all of them, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all of them, they have a Republican House and a Republican Senate. So, first of all, these are states that do elect Republicans a lot. See, so I mean, to say, it's not like we're talking about Massachusetts. Okay, if the Trump campaign wanted to contest Massachusetts, I'd say, you know what? They don't elect Republican legislatures. They don't elect Republican governors. They just don't. So I can understand. that's not worth fighting about. But in all the states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, they have Republican houses and Republican senates. Many of them have Republican governors. These are Republican voters. Yes, they can swing. But in a campaign where Biden struggles to get, 200 people to show up at a rally, and Trump gets tens of thousands of people to show up, even in the midst of a pandemic, where do you think the enthusiasm was this year? Right? So, pardon us if we're not impressed by the assurances that there was no fraud here. Also, there are mathematical laws, like Benson's Law, that lay out probabilities for, literally how many ballots fall into what category, in what order, and at what time, right? So you graph this out. You can Google this. Benson's Law, and there are others, by the way, where Wisconsin, Philadelphia, and I believe it was Chicago, just violate the laws of mathematics. They just do. It's not that the vote count, other than Wisconsin, is impossible to be mathematically, realistic or politically realistic. It's the order of how these votes were counted and how they came in and when. It just doesn't make sense. Again, I'm no mathematics expert. I will not bore you with this. But if you're interested, Google 2020 election Benson's Law and check it out. So you can see for yourself the graphs and how they don't work. It's quite interesting. There is so much more I have to tell you, but I have to cut a break again. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. Okay, driving in today, I was listening to Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star Spangled Banner with that electric guitar. So intense. If you've never heard this and you have an appreciation for the electric guitar, please do yourself a favor. You have to download this because it is so awesome. I had it blaring on the radio, driving in with the windows down. I like speed. I like windows down. I like rock and roll. And I mean, it was so good. Seriously, I teared up. It was so good. Amazing. So, do yourself a favor. Jimi Hendrix, Star Spangled Banner. Okay. Look, if we are going to have a peaceful transition of power or retention of power after elections, which this country has always been the model for that. We've always been, in the whole world, the model. We hand over power, usually gracefully. Not always. I remember reports of when the Clintons left the White House, their staff took buttons off the computers just so the Bush people couldn't use them. It's so ridiculous. But most of us are grown-ups. We don't behave that way. We don't walk off with things. We actually have a great history. Almost 250 years. It's amazing. And what we should strive for is peaceful transitions. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. You are not justified in taking to the streets to burn cities down or hurt people. You're not. And I've seen lots of exhortations online. And even, you know, emails from friends of mine who are very, very high up in the liberal Democrat echelons saying, Jackie, if you have any influence, please urge that there be no violence after the election. To which I say, hey, I forwarded to them, here's the typical email among people who are Republican activists. It was a whole email about praying against the spirit of violence. I'm like, pardon me, but I've been in this party since I was 16, and I've never met a Republican rioter. Not one. I'm in the middle of everything. I don't like the moral equivalency. We have to hold people accountable or nothing stops. This is not Trump supporters out in the streets rioting and burning down Minneapolis, New York, and other cities. Let's be serious. This is why the country is so divided, because there's no honesty. See, I agree. No violence. I'm 100% in agreement. I'm so high profile. If there's a civil war, I'll be the first to die. I do not want a war, okay? I'll be crystal clear. No war. I don't want that. I don't know any Republican who wants that. I've never once heard a Republican say, if Trump loses, I'm taking to the streets. I'm going to kill people until they give me my president. I've never, ever, 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 ever heard that. Not once. Not ever. So it's ridiculous. So let it be official. What does Jackie advise you to do? Be peaceful. 100%. And if anyone gets violent, they must be stopped immediately. This nonsense has been going on for months. And by the way, it's still going on. Every single day, it's going on. You might not know it. You might not see it because the press figured out that it was causing the Democrats to be less popular. The polling numbers were horrible, so bad that they have a convention and they can't devote a single word to riots or law and order. But then a month or a week later, the polling came in. That's all anyone wanted to talk about. And Nancy Pelosi runs to the House floor to give a speech on law and order. She suddenly found her voice on this after they've been fundraising through Act Blue for the BLM. Let's be serious. You burn things down, they make money, okay? Let's be serious. So I am very much wanting to maintain a peaceful transition of power. And the only way it's possible is that all of us agree that our vote was counted. If half the country thinks its vote wasn't counted, look out. Now, again, I think that if Trump loses, I don't believe Trump supporters will start violence. I do believe some Biden supporters will feel very empowered to be violent because they haven't been held accountable in cities and states that have a Republican city leadership, like a mayor or city council, or if they have a Democrat governor. If you have Democrat local officials and state officials, there's no accountability, and it goes on just like it's going on right this second in Portland, Washington, D.C., and other places. So I think the violence continues because who in the heck's going to stop them? That's what I think. I hope I'm wrong. I really, 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 really hope I'm wrong. We need to maintain a peaceful transition of power at all costs. I don't know what's more important, really. I heard a report that about 70-some percent of Republicans believe their votes were not counted appropriately in this election, or question whether or not their vote was canceled out with fraud. Well, I wonder that too. I'm in the 70-some percent. That's very bad. On the Democrat side, if Trump wins, let's say he wins Arizona, wins Georgia, we're still counting. He could win Pennsylvania. He hasn't lost any of them yet. He has not lost even on the first count. Despite the fraud, even with the fraud. What do you think is going to happen if Trump wins those and then the Democrats, particularly the violent type, see that on TV after the news media has been playing state maps for a week or longer that show that Biden won all those places when he didn't win them. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think those violent Democrats are going to accept the Trump win after all this? I think this kind of coverage is meant to delegitimize any possibility that Trump could win. The media has way too much power. They have for a long time. Remember back in 2000, they flipped Florida. They called it for Gore. Then they called it for Bush. Why are they calling anything? Why don't they just report, here's how many votes have come in for each candidate, and here's how much is outstanding? Why don't they do that? So, as you might know, as I said, the other path would be that Trump loses in some of these states and his legal challenges succeed. And the election could be overturned state by state. Well, do you think that the violent people in the streets are going to accept that? I don't think so. This could go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Right now, the Republican-appointed judges outnumber the Democrat-appointed judges. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of an outcome that makes Trump stay in power, do you think the violent people will accept that? No, they won't. I just gave you three possibilities, and there are others, of ways that the president could win this election. And if any of those things happen, I believe, unfortunately, that there could be violence in the streets, at least in those areas where the local and state government are run by Democrats, because that is what's been going on for months. I don't like being negative. I really don't. I wish I had something, a rosier forecast and something better to say. I do think that if that violence happens, if Trump is the winner, he will put it down pretty quickly. And it has to be put down. It has to be stopped. Do you realize if you look back at our history, there have been a lot of times where we had this kind of violence bubble up, right? Remember the 1968 Democrat convention and the university students taking over administrative offices, and far worse than that, the 1800s. There were times when the KKK would bust into a Republican political meeting, because remember, the Republicans were the abolitionist party, and just kill everyone inside. That stuff happened. You don't learn about that anymore. Wonder why not? There's so much that the country's gone through. You know, purging the Mormons. I mean, just crazy stuff that's happened in our history. And somehow, we brought the violence under control. Somehow we stopped the trouble, stopped the injustices. It went back to peace. We can do it again. But it's going to take all of us, right? All right, I'm out of time. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show.